Welcome to Friend Wings Podcast, where Smashville and Hockey Town collide. And now your hosts, Brett and Ron White and D-Law Dan Lawless.
Welcome to Friend Wings Podcast, episode 87.
87. Look at that.
A little late this week, but better late than never. Our social media, Pred Wings Podcast on Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and catch us on X and YouTube at Pred Wings Pod. The podcast does post to the YouTube account. Obviously, just audio, no video, but I actually saw that the other day. I was kind of surprised. So it is there on YouTube if you look at Pred Wings Podcast. Or search for Pred Wings Podcast. So obviously it's just the audio because we don't have video, but that's all right. And then our email is predwingspodcast@gmail.com. And before we go any further, I just want to, if you listened to the live version last week, I have to apologize. I was not very unprofessional. I let my emotions get the better of me. And if you missed the live version, shame on you, because hey, that's why you
dandy.
That's why you tune into the live version, because you get a lot of stuff happens on the live version that you don't get in the published podcast version. So that's all the more reason to follow.
Apology. I never thought I'd see the day.
That's why you follow us on Podbean, so you get those notifications when we go live. So now that I got that out of the way, kind of a light week. We both have 3 games, I believe.
Yeah, I think.
And the Wings, they start with Washington.
Yeah, that was, it was a close game. I don't want to say it was a good game, because I thought Detroit really, they dominated parts of it, but then it was like they just disappeared. It was like that team just went right away. And the consistency is what's, it's killing, absolutely killing Detroit. And the worst part about it, as you watch these games, you just see that Detroit's lack of, effort. They're not trying. They're not skating. Pucks are being passed into their feet. Just kind of lazy. But the one thing in this game is, I will say that they started, they battled. They battled. They get the win. They almost get the win, is what I meant to say. And, they lose it in overtime.
And I
thought he played a phenomenal game, and everyone keeps saying we need a goalie. Alex Lyon to me is not a bad goalie. I'm not saying he's a number one, but I'm also not saying he's not a number one. You got to give the kid some defense, give him some forwards who are actually putting effort into the game, not just skating around. Like, the goals he's letting in are not. They're not Bernier-like. So, they're actually putting, he's putting a lot of weight on his shoulders, I feel like, playing for the Red Wings. And I think he's really battled. I thought he's played really, really well. So, I don't know. I think Lyon, I just feel that Lyon is the guy for now. Obviously, he's playing more of the games. But I don't think we get rid of him. If I'm going to keep anybody to play with Kosa, it's going to be Lyon. But,
and I just want to say this: it was a heartbreaking loss. I mean, they get a point, and they were battling back. I think there was a couple key changes, if I remember, and just to lose in overtime. I don't know how far in overtime it was, but it just seems like, because they were right there. I mean, yeah, I know they've had some losses lately, but they, in Washington, they've been kind of up and down. they win some good key games, and then they lose some games they probably should win. And I mean, and this is probably one of those games they should have won, and they did. But it just it's a game that the Wings could have and probably should have had. That's just why I
they
say
they definitely had their opportunities. They definitely had their opportunities. I mean, they had, you know, a bunch of good scoring chances, but they really struggled just leaving that guy open in the slot. It just, like, Ovechkin sneaks in, he gets a goal. You know, it's just they played well. They played well. And it's just, well, we'll get into it. But yeah, that one was definitely a heartbreaker, as you said. And it was kind of like, this is our, you know, where, you know, Washington is right there battling with us. So in this game, it's like, man, whoever wins this is going to the playoffs. Like, this is, you know, the Stanley Cup before the Stanley Cup, and Detroit just, they couldn't pull it out. You know, so the Capitals get, you know, two needed points. Yeah, Detroit gets a point, but then Detroit has to go into Carolina. We're going to jump to that game. There is nobody on the team that deserves anything. Reimer played like garbage. Everybody, and to really hit it home with what I mentioned last game about their lack of hustle, this team has packed it in. They've packed it in. They're done. The players know it. The coach knows it. Everyone knows. Put a fork in them. Because they can't win the big games that they need to win to make the playoffs. And their lack of hustle just isn't there. Detroit gets blown out 4-0. You know, Reimer lets in an awful goal. But wouldn't have mattered being down 4-0. Detroit's not scoring. But the sad thing is, see, here's what the sad thing is to me. The sad thing is that if you'd asked me a month and a half ago when Detroit was in that hot streak, what Detroit was going to do, I would have said they're going to make a deep run. They're getting hot at the right time. The guys are flying around. They're aggressive on the puck. You know, those 50-50 puck battles, if you watch Detroit now, they're backing off of them. I don't know if they're trying to be more defensive-minded right out of the gate, but they're backing off of those. That's a problem. That's not the Detroit Red Wings that we had a month and a half ago, where guys are, you know, taking runs towards the puck, trying to get those 50-50 pucks. Robbie Fabry, I think, is flying around. Lucas Raymond, I think, is flying around. Those two guys, I think, are battling and going after those 50-50 pucks. There's no defensive-minded right out of the gate. It's, you know, if they're in the offensive zone, they're going to get that puck. But it's just a lot of those guys are now backing out. You know, Larkin, you know, he's give or take. DeBrincat, he backs out. Kane, he backs out. There's just no back check. And again, this just isn't the team from you know, six weeks ago. So, yeah, this was a complete sham. You know, Detroit did absolutely nothing. Aho, Jarvis, they each get a goal. Natchez and Brady Shea were the goal scorers. And, again, just not a good look. And I think at this point, you know, I think Lalonde has to be on the hot seat. I know you'll have mixed reviews all over the internet. You've got people calling for his head. You've got people saying, oh, my God, he's going to be the next savior. Got to give him a chance. Got to give him a chance. And you know, there's also a level of skepticism for Steve Yzerman right now. People are wondering what's going on. Everyone thinks that, oh, my God, we're going to be, you know, we're better than last year. We made improvement. We're getting guys ice time. No, we're not. We brought in a bunch of veterans to fill the ice time. So, no, we're not just getting our guys ice time. And I get it. Maybe he thinks that they're not quite ready yet. But again, then you can't use the excuse that it's for ice time. So I just think that everyone's saying that we're having a miraculous year. We've got one more win than we did last year to this point. I mean, how many wins over last season do we need to have before we're going to say that it's a successful season? Like, I don't know what that metric is. to me, I'd like to see, you know, 7 to 10 games over last year. Like, that's a good improvement. Like, not where you want to be. Like, obviously, you want to have 20 more wins. But I can see growth and development with, you know, 7 to 10 wins year after year, because eventually it's going to get more and more. So I just think that, I don't know, we just don't have the pieces right now. And I think defense is an area that we really struggle. But you look at a game like this with Carolina, and we give up 4 goals. We didn't get any goal. We had, I mean, yeah, goal scorers. Where are they? But enough of this game. You know, that was a joke. So then we get another dandy in Florida. Now, again, everything contrary to what I just said, I thought they actually played a good game. They came out and they battled and they fought and they tried to get the loose pucks. They were jamming away in the crease. You know, they were doing everything they could to just give themselves an opportunity to score a goal. And again, Alex Lyon, I thought, played phenomenal. 36 of 38 shots. You know, and again, he's not just taking these, you know, easy shots. I mean, you have to chuck in your face the entire game. And, you know, this is just a hard battled Detroit. You know, this was the Detroit six weeks ago, this was the team that they had out there. They were going after the 50-50 pucks. They were playing a little bit harder. They were playing like it meant something. And, you know, they battled. Fabry had a nice shot. He battled for his goal. Dylan Larkin, you know, he's always out there battling. Patrick Kane, you know, he had a couple of shots on goal, but he did have an assist in the game. But, you know, that's him. Like, that, he is a point-per-night guy when he's on. And he got his point. Like, we're starting a fire, but is it too little too late? And that's my concern, because we did get a point in this game. We did drop it, you know, in a shootout. So it was a hard-battled game. Again, this is not a, you know, if this was, you know, a month and a half ago, I'm not too worried about this, because I thought Detroit played a good game. Just, you know, Florida played a better game.
Bunch of jerks.
Unfortunately, that's not going to work right now, because Detroit needs every point they can get to get into the playoffs. So, yeah, no, losing this is not good. Like, it's not a we'll get it later. Detroit's got to figure it out. They've got to figure out how to get 2 points and, you know, find a way into the playoffs. And we're going to need a lot of help from those around us. So we'll see what happens. More to report on that next show.
Kind of sounds like the Predators needing to find a way to get some points.
How many did they get this? How many games did they lose this year or this week?
We'll get to that in a minute.
Roll it.
You're done?
Yeah, I'm done. Nothing more to say. I mean, Detroit's got to start winning.
No rants.
Nope, I'm not even going to go off. I'm not going to. That was just one of those games where it's like, man, I just want to turn this off.
Well, that's the way it started, was against Vegas at home. They fell down 3-0 in the first period, and then they looked like garbage again, even though they did have, you know, the shots were pretty almost even. It's 14-11. But they just didn't really have any pressure. And, you know, they finally get on the board, but then Vegas comes right back and puts it 4-1. But something happened in the third period, and the Predators just, they took over. I don't know if it was because, I don't want to go into this, you know, the double teams playing back-to-back, and Vegas was just in St. Louis the night before, and they had to travel, which isn't, it's only like an hour flight, I think, or maybe an hour and a half. No, it's not a very long flight. So, I mean, maybe the travel is a thing in NHL, but like I said a couple weeks ago, they're so used to, you know, playing in juniors and the minor leagues that, but I don't know. Maybe it still is a thing, but the Predators took over in third period like they have been during this whole streak. And they ended up scoring 2 goals in 40 seconds to get the game tied 4-4. You know, Nyquist, he won the one that tied it with a power play goal, which actually it was the third goal Forsberg scored. That goal, when the Predators came in, entered the zone, I remember, you know, watching it, you know, live as it happens. And I remember seeing them come in to the zone, and I'm like, that looks like it's offside. And they didn't call it offside, and the Preds, you know, they got in around the corner and got it to the front of the net, and the Vegas goalie, Aiden Hill, I don't know what happened. He was actually inside in the net, and I was thinking the puck was under him, but apparently it was like just before, it was actually in the crease, but in the on the line, and Forsberg came in there and got a stick on it and put it home. Vegas ended up challenging that call and for offside, and I still say it was offside. They ended up, it was a lengthy review, and it sure looked like offside to me. And they called it. It was onside, so the goal stood. And because the Vegas challenged it and was unsuccessful, they got a penalty. So they put Nashville on the power play, and that's when Nyquist scored his 20th to tie the game 4-4. And that was definitely a turning point of the game. Obviously, coming back from 4-1 down, 3-0 down. I'm still going to stand by. I think that was offside. Obviously, the video probably. Well, the only thing that says it is that it was Zucker was the one that was offside, or Zucker. They pronounce the name Zucker. The only thing I can say of it now, I don't know if that's the way it is. It's like kind of like in football. If you're a football fan, you know how when you cross the end zone, as long as it's, you know, over the crop, breaking the plane. I don't know if that's the way it is in hockey for offside. The only thing that's saving Zucker is I look like his butt was onside on the blue line. Maybe his skate was on, but I don't know. I'll take it as a goal, especially against Vegas, because God knows how many times Nashville's been kind of screwed on the calls. But, you know, that's the way it rolls sometimes. And then
you win, sometimes you lose.
And then so it goes in overtime, and it was a great. If you didn't see this goal play, it was just great. All three, was it O'Reilly, Forsberg, and Rossi touched the puck. Forsberg carried it over the blue line, kind of crisscrossed, left it for O'Reilly, and then kind of like a three-man weave, and they left it to Yossi, and then he just caught right to the front of that. And I gotta say, I don't know if Eichel's known for his defense. Obviously, probably not. And he was in front of that, and he was just like, it looked like he was just going for the motions. He kind of got a stick on Yossi, but Yossi, you know, he was just going harder than that, and he put it in the empty side of the net where Hill wasn't, won the game for the Predators 5-4. But I don't know, to me, I think Eichel could have been more, especially in an overtime game. It was a big game. He probably could have been harder on the stick, a Yossi stick, to try to, you know, do something without taking a penalty. But it just didn't look, maybe he was, I don't know. But it didn't look like he was trying very hard. I don't know if that's Eichel, you know, if that's his thing, if he does that, or I don't know.
Yeah, Sabres fans.
But it just didn't look like he gave effort into that. But you know, that was huge. You know, I was thinking it was gonna be a loss. It extended the streak. Well, it was 18, I think it was. I think it was O'Reilly. He called, because he's on the Forsberg and Nyquist line, the first line. He called them the Swedish meatballs, Forsberg and Nyquist, because they're Swedish and he's the center on their line. So the Swedish meatball line. That's what they be called. And then. So then they got to go on a little road trip, and all I got to say about the next two games is, well, I'll just let you take a listen.
That was fun.
It was a comedy show. That's all I can say about that. They didn't show up. It's a college arena that holds 4,600, and I'll get to that later in the show about that. But I just want to say, and I guess I spent too much time on this game because obviously the Predators didn't. But they were getting. The rest were just
they never
out.
Play Arizona good though.
Well, that then Connor Ingram.
Yeah, doesn't matter though. I mean, you can say that about every goalie. Like, well, Saros doesn't play. Rene didn't play good against them. They just don't play good against Arizona for whatever reason.
The rest totally screwed up. I mean, it's just.
Oh, it's the ref's fault.
Well, they don't know how to count. They call the too many players. On the Predators, and the Predators only had four players on the ice. So I don't know where these mysteriously two extra players came from. Maybe they're invisible to everybody but the refs. And then that's when the Coyotes seemed to take over, even though, I mean, the Predators weren't really playing all that bad. And then the Coyotes scored a couple goals. You know, one was on the power play, on that power play. And then they just took over. Krausen got hit up with a cheap shot, and then, you know, another Coyote, I don't remember who it was, he took a dive, and Jankowski got the penalty called against him, and it's terrible. I mean, it's just absolutely terrible. And actually, I kind of missed this after the Vegas overtime win. Ryan Galloway, he's lineman for the NHL. He's retiring, and that was his last game in Nashville. And after the Yossi goal, after they won in overtime, he went right over to the Zamboni door, which was open, and he went. It looked like he was signaling somebody. He was calling the Ryan Galloway lineman back on the ice, and then all the Predators wished him luck as he's retiring. So, just thought that was a neat thing for Yossi to do.
That's cool stuff. Enjoy that.
And also, I have to mention Ryan Galloway was in. I think it was Winnipeg the other day. Against, I don't remember who Winnipeg was. I think it was the Kings or somebody. And they came back for a commercial, and they showed they had a little. It was like during the second period, I think, or third period. And they just kind of he was over by the bench, and they did the same thing. So it wasn't after the game, but it was they did their own thing. So just wanted to, classy for them too, because yeah, I guess he's been in the league, I think 16 or 17 years, I think they said. So getting back onto it, then the Predators go to Colorado and just, I don't know. They were in the game, and then, and I know you're probably going to say, I'm blaming the refs again, but.
Seems like a common theme.
They called Rick McDonough for a major in a game misconduct for hitting, I believe it was Ross Colton to the head. I didn't see the game, but I saw the play, and. It was on a penalty. It was a good hit. He didn't even come. He hit him in the shoulder. He didn't even come close to the head. Colton sold it, and he kind of flopped, and he jobbed his head around. And yeah, he played the refs on that one. They don't seem to be calling that anymore. And I just wish they would bring that back. Start calling embellishment, because Colton definitely. He definitely embellished that, and I don't know how, and then that's ever since that major, obviously he was kicked out for that, and McDonough's a key member of this defense. And they didn't have the rest of the game, and Colorado scored, I think, two on that power play, or three on the, I don't remember, but that's after that, that's, they just took over, and Predators just, I don't know, I didn't see the rest of the game, so, but yeah, I just gotta say, I don't know that it wasn't even, I mean, it was a nice hit, he did not hit him in the head, so, and he didn't get suspended or anything. Yeah, I just don't know. So that sparked a, you know, two-game losing streak, and in that Vegas game, the announcer, he was all excited. He's like, you better believe this team is for real. Well, maybe they were then, but after the last two games, I don't think they are. They got outclassed by two teams, one team that's not in the playoff, and one team that's elite and probably going to win it all. Although Dallas has been pretty hot lately. But during this, actually, this season, the Predators have 13 comeback wins, and only five of those comebacks were from 1-0. Most of them were like 2 or 3 goals down. And then, you know, obviously the third period, they've come back only 6 times, but because they've usually been leading. So that's my week for the Preds. 1 out of 3. Not very good, I guess.
I guess not horrible. You're still playing well.
Will the Predators be please stand up? I repeat, will
the Predators
please stand up? We're going to have a problem here.
I couldn't tell the difference between you and him.
We have a problem, that's for sure. At least the Predators have a problem.
Boy, oh boy.
All right, enough of that. So I just got a couple little news stories before I got to introduce a little playoff race update here. The last 2 weeks, pretty much the last 2 weeks, more 3 weeks, I guess. But Josh Stone, who's, you know, Arizona, thank God he didn't do it against the Predators. He played his first game against Columbus. If anyone knows Shane Doan, he's the Coyotes' fan favorite. He's just all Mr. Coyote. But that's his son, Josh Stone. He scored his first NHL goal in his first game, and he had 2 goals in that game against Columbus. And then John Hines, as I, you know, a couple weeks ago, I mentioned coaching Minnesota, and he pulled the goalie against the Predators in overtime, and they ended up scoring. Well, he did it again this time against Vegas, except for it backfired on him. Vegas scored an empty net goal, and the Wild lost their point. And the announcer was, I guess it was on ESPN. It was one of the woman announcers. I don't remember who it was. She was saying, I like this call. I think that's a gutsy call. They need points. And, well, of course you're going to say that. I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's a reason why coaches don't do it more often. And that's, you know, every point is sacred in this league. You never, you know, it could be.
Yeah, tell me about
it. You could lose, you know, and it's just, you know, points this time of year, but it's also points in October. You don't win, you don't clinch playoffs in October, but you look back and you – You look back and say, oh, if we could have just got one more point. Because, hey, or 2 points.
That was also against Columbus.
I'm sure there's been teams that lost playoffs by 1 point. It might have even happened last year, and it might happen this year so close. So that's all I wanted to say about that. I don't know if you have any news stories. I don't know if I have any.
I mean, just a lot of. I mean, playoff stuff, which we'll get into.
Quick rundown for the playoff.
Bedard did get rookie of the month for the month of March. Just want to put that out there.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. And I just want to, like, more of a discussion on these playoff teams. I mean, we all know the top, you know, the top teams in the division, Boston, Florida, you know, Toronto seems to get the third spot solidified. And then, you know, Rangers, Carolina, and, well, now Philadelphia, they're in the third, but they're kind of in a battle with Washington for that third spot and also wild card. So, and as of today, Philadelphia's played 76, Washington played 74. Washington dropped a couple games. They probably should have won. But they're holding on to that second spot. So, you know, Tampa Bay's holding on to that number one spot. And then you got Washington and Detroit with 82. And then you got the Islanders with 81. And don't look now, but Pittsburgh and Buffalo, they're still got a little bit of hope. So, just staying with the East for now, what do we think the chances are? It looks like Tampa Bay probably will hold on to that first spot. And then you got to worry about Philadelphia, Washington, Detroit, and Islanders. I know Detroit's been, you know, they're 4-4-2 in their last 10. But who do you think is going to capture that second wild card spot?
It depends on which Wings team shows up.
Because you got, you know, the Islanders, Penguins have been playing pretty good. They're 5-3-2 their last 10. And, you know, Buffalo's 5-5, so you got to keep, you know, New Jersey's, they're also 5-5, but they've gone the other way. Buffalo's, you know, they've seen, you know, they've played some pretty decent teams and, you know, and some play, you know, the Washington and I think they just beat New Jersey, if I remember, but I mean, it might be a long shot, but I think it might come down between, no offense to Detroit, well, I think it's going to come down to Washington or the Islanders.
Yeah, the Islanders are playing good hockey.
Or Philadelphia. I think whoever gets that third spot between Philadelphia and Washington is obviously going to make the playoffs, but whoever doesn't was probably, unless they can, you know, unless Washington can find a way to get a couple wins, you know, I think the Islanders, you know, they might come back and steal the second spot.
Islanders have Columbus. Okay. That's a winnable game there. And then the Penguins and Capitals, you know, we gotta hope that the Penguins actually win. See, what else do we have coming up here? Capitals, Canes.
And the Predators have the Islanders, too, coming up in New York on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, that's the next one. So let's go Preds, let's go Preds.
And then, of course, New Jersey. But, I mean, I don't want to count them out, but I think the last couple games that they lost probably did it to them, especially since so many teams in front of them now. But it looks like the East is a little bit tighter than the West. You know, obviously the West shifting over to the West. You got, you know, Dallas. They're on a seven-game win streak, so they've been red hot. And I know I said, you know, a couple weeks ago, I predicted Colorado, Dallas, Winnipeg for the division in that order. I still think Colorado's the better team. Dallas, you know, they might end up losing. You know, they've all played 75 points, so it's obviously going to come down. I mean, Dallas does have a 3-point lead over Colorado. Colorado just had a huge loss to, I think it was Columbus they just played, and so that hurt them there. But it's going to come down to those two teams. Winnipeg's in a little funk. They did win last night, but now you got Vancouver, Edmonton, and Vegas in the Pacific. Vegas is in a fight with L.A. for that third spot. They're 3 points ahead of them now. The L.A. is kind of slipping a little bit. So I think Vegas will probably hold on to that third spot. And then in the wild card, Predators, the Kings, they're battling for the top. You know, obviously the Predators, they got some tough games coming up. So then you got, you know, the Blues are just three behind the Kings with 84. And then Minnesota, they got 79. They're probably done. Seattle 75. I think they're not officially eliminated, but I think they're pretty much hopes are done. So it'll probably come down to St. Louis and Minnesota, and then that point that they lost in overtime is huge. They could have 80, or should have at least 80. They would have won that game, you know. If they hadn't been going to shootout, they could have beat them. You know, but I know it was Vegas, but I mean, you have at least a point, so you have at least 80. And if they would have found a way to win without losing that point, they could have 81. So they're still got hopes, although it's fading away pretty fast. But I think St. Louis, I mean, Nashville, as much as they've been losing in this little streak, this little losing streak here after that huge win streak, they probably will hold on. And I don't know if that's the way you want to go into the playoffs, by holding on to a playoff spot. I think they might have peaked too soon.
No, I mean realistically, while I think if Detroit gets in the first round, they're getting piss pounded by doesn't matter who. Obviously, you want your team to be there. Obviously, you want them to do good. You know, I don't care how Detroit gets in there. I don't care if a plane crashes. Like, if they make the playoffs, they make the playoffs. But I do have the expectation that they're not going to do well. So, of course, you want them to get in.
Well, if Detroit does make it, it'll probably be the second. More likely would be the second wild card, and then they'd have to play. The second wild card would play what looks like either the Rangers or Boston. Right now, it would probably be the Rangers. I think the second wild card.
Detroit's going to take the Atlantic. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, if they give them some fantasy fan of points.
It's the ref's fault.
Maybe next year or the year after. Although, you know, the last six seasons, Boston's had a 100-point season, so I don't see them getting bad anytime soon. I don't think they'll ever be down by where San Jose is. But what do you think in the West? You know, it'd be the Blues or the Kings probably for the last second spot, unless the Kings can find a way to win and move ahead of the Predators. Because the Blues have played 75 games, so that means they got seven games left.
They played the same amount of games as Nashville. Yeah, they're at. So you have 90 points and they've got 84. So, I mean, you still have a little bit of a cushion there that you don't want to give that up. And I think you're too far away from Winnipeg to catch Winnipeg.
Well, we weren't. I mean, that's why those losses are huge. Could have tied the Jets until last night. And so, but now after those two losses, I was really optimistic that the Preds would get in the third spot in the Central, because Winnipeg, you know, they're 4-5-1 their last 10. And the fourth win was last night. And
I mean, it's totally doable.
But
pretty much lose out and you'd have to win out.
But after those two losses by the Predators, and that killed their chances.
That didn't kill them. It hurt them.
Well, they're six behind now. They do have a head-to-head, but even if they do win that in regulation, they'll still be 4 points behind them, and the Jets are probably going to start heating up again. Who knows? I don't know. I didn't really look at their schedule. They have Calgary in Winnipeg. Or no, yeah, that's a home game for Winnipeg. And then they're at Minnesota, at the Predators, at Dallas, at Colorado.
They've got a
and then they're back home, Seattle and Vancouver.
They're playing all top teams. You're lucky.
Except for Minnesota, Calgary, but they.
Well, yeah.
Calgary's been playing pretty good lately. They just beat the Kings. And then Seattle's been, I mean, they're a wreck, but they've been not doing too bad lately. They're 3-6-1 their last 10, but they're coming off a win. But they did just, well, two of their wins were just against the Ducks. So go figure there. I want to say Kings, because the only thing with the Kings, you know, they just lost three in a row, but they win the games. I don't want to say they win the games they should, but I just think the Blues, that's tough. It's obviously going to come down to the next 2 weeks. Maybe next week's show will be, you know, a little more clear. But I think as of right now, I think the Blues will catch them. I mean, they have the Kings got a game in hand. So it depends on if they can win that game. if they don't win that game, you know, the Blues are only 3 points behind. They got the Predators coming up, which we'll get into a little bit later. I don't know. The Blues have been playing decent. They're 7-2-1 their last 10 compared to the Kings 5-5. So they're, you know, like I said, they're kind of iffy. You never know what Kings team is going to show up. And this time of year, you don't want that. You know what you're going to get. So I think, I mean, I guess that's the lowdown on the playoff race as this week. Obviously, it might change next week.
Yep, agree.
And
the fines and suspensions.
So yeah, looks like we got we talked about Wilson last week, right? The 6 games, yes.
Yep.
So it looks like Byram was fined. I'm not sure what he did. Byram.
Bo.
I don't know why I have such a hard time with his name. He was fined for interference against Senators player. I don't know why it was a fine. I don't know. Gouley, he was suspended 1 game. What did he do? Slashing Konechny. Oh, well, it was a flat. Well, I don't want to say anything about that. He probably deserved it. Oh, he was on the bench. He was on the bench when he slashed, and that's why. He deserved that one. Strom for the Ducks. He was fined for cross-checking the rookie Carty from the Kraken. Is that how you say his name? And he's one of the rookies. And then Hathaway was fined. He was on the Flyers. Oh, he was fined. Yeah, they give him a fine for embellishment. Probably didn't get a penalty. It happened against Boston. Oh, I don't know if that was. I didn't see the video, but his knee looked like he got bent backwards. He got fined. That was only a $2,000 fine. And then Hartman, he was suspended 3 games. He's had suspensions before, so he's a repeat offender. He got unsportsmanlike conduct and the overtime loss to Golden Knights. Well, that's the one that this coach pulled their goaltender. So he was assessed a 10-minute misconduct, and looks like probably because he's a repeat offender is why they suspended him. So let me see what he did. He must have just said something. Well, I mean, your coach pulls a goaltender in overtime. Oh, he threw the stick. Well, yeah, he threw the stick at the ref.
Well, that's one way to do it.
Yeah, the ref was he didn't really throw it at the ref. He threw it. The ref was skating towards where he threw it. He was looking right at him Yeah, that was just dumb. I mean, yeah, he deserved that. That was just dumb. That was a dumb. I wonder if he was trying to throw at the goalie. The goalie was already in the neutrals. I don't know. That was just dumb. there's no reason for that. I mean, the game was over. Your coach did something stupid, and maybe you should throw the stick at your coach. So that's how to find suspensions. I guess we can roll into the Pred Wings 10. I do have another story outside the NHL. So
hit it. Go for it.
I guess are you ready? Because I've been talking too much. Let you do some talking here.
Yeah, you want me to jump in here? So you want to go through the 10 then?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go with the Rangers. I think that they're still playing good hockey. And then I'm going to go with Dallas. Obviously, you know, my top seven have all clinched a playoff spot. Carolina, I think, is playing good. Vancouver, I think, is playing good. Boston, they're coming back around. Colorado and Florida are my top seven. And then I'm going to go with Edmonton. Winnipeg, and probably Vegas. I know they just had a loss, but they've got a lot of guys that are about to come back.
I think most of mine are clinched too. I got Vancouver at number one, the move for a place in Colorado. They've been steady. I got Rangers moving back to second, and they've already clinched, obviously. And I got Dallas and Colorado 3 and 4, just because Dallas is leading the division, and they're 7 in a row now. And then I got Boston in 5th, and then Carolina and Florida. So, again, my top 7 are all clinched. And then in the 8th spot, I got Toronto moving in. They've been kind of quietly, 3-game winning streak. They're kind of quietly sitting there. I mean, Matthews has 60 goals now. Actually, he's got more than 60. Much as Toronto, you know, the NHL, the media always likes to talk about Toronto. Unless I just don't pay attention that close, it seems like they're kind of like not getting talked a lot. That's why they're kind of quietly sitting there. Whoever plays them, it might be Florida probably in the first round. They've got their hands full. And then I got Edmonton in the 9th spot. And then I did put the Kings at 10th. Even though they've been kind of struggling as of late, the last couple, they didn't deserve to be in. I know after that 18 game, I don't know if it was a letdown. I think that always seems to happen. I don't know. I'd have to check to see, you know, teams with these big point streaks like those 18 games. What, you know, I should have gone and looked and see what happens after their streak ended, see if these teams went on a losing streak or what. So I should probably dig into that. Might be too late anyway, but so obviously got the Preds dropping out, and then I'm no special mentions because, I mean, I've been mentioning St. Louis for a while, so it's not really a special mention anymore. I think they're probably sitting in 11th or 12th at my list if we did have the 16. And I did check the 16 just a few days ago, and they're obviously right in line with ours, except for they did have the Predators at, actually one guy had them at 6. I think they were sitting in 6, but the one guy had them like 3rd, I believe it was, on his list. So I don't know on that one. And as I was talking about the Predators, I didn't mention this earlier. As far as points per 60, and that means 60 minutes, and this might be a surprise, Jankowski is leading since March 7th, 5. So he's averaging 5 points per 60, and that's just because he hasn't really played that much. And then because you got Matthews at 4.4 and McDavid at 4.3, and then you got Nyquist and Forsberg. Nyquist at 4.3, so he's actually tied with McDavid with points per 60, and then Forsberg at 4.1. So I just thought that was interesting that the Jankowski was actually, since March 7th, has been leading. I don't know how much you can go by points per 60. You know, it's points per game is what it bounds to. So I don't know how much that actually is that actually a stat. I mean, obviously it is. They keep so many stats now.
They keep stats for everything.
So I think the plus minus is more of an indicator than that, but I got to do have a little story here, and this kind of ties in with my Arizona College Arena rant that I'm not even going to go into that because it's been a thing in the show for how many years now? 3 years, seasons, our third season.
Hey, are you going to talk about the PWHL?
The Montreal-Toronto PWHL. It's slated for April 20th in Toronto. It's sold out in 20 minutes. The capacity is 21,105
people in 20 minutes.
20 minutes for a women for the women's game, and then
a thousand
it's like,
people a minute bought tickets.
And I mean, Toronto, you know, they're it's
but
in Toronto.
Fair, though, D-Law, to be fair,
it's an exciting
Arizona
game.
Arizona would probably only get about 7,000 in this arena, so it is more than their 4,500.
It's three times as much.
But I'm saying if you move them to the playing at
actually,
the same
four
arena.
Times. Actually, before more, over four times.
Right? Yeah, but again, move them to the arena where they can hold more people. They're still not going to fill it up.
Yeah, it's way. Actually, it's probably close to five times. Yeah, it's just under five times the amount of that they hold in that college arena. Yeah, I just and you know the women's game is very very exciting. Very, I mean, obviously, you know, there's no hitting, but it's just
I think it's
all skills.
Than men's.
And I mean,
some games, to be honest with you,
and it just it's skills. It's like. It's just a fun game to watch at any level, women's game. Well, obviously, maybe not the 10Us, but you know they're
I'm
learning.
Watch the Montreal and Toronto. I want to see if there's going to be like bad blood. I'm going to watch that.
I'm not even sure it was. I'm sure it's on somewhere, probably NHL Network or something. But
oh, it's got to be.
But yeah, it's April 20th, so I'm probably going to be busy, so I'll have to watch it on tape delay or something, or on
VHS after you tape it, yeah. And fast forward the commercials.
That's 80s stuff.
Auto-tuning. Those are the best. I even had, did you ever have one of those car rewinders?
The 8-track?
No, I remember those in betas, but now I'm asking, do you know about the car rewinders? So like you want to rewind a tape and watch it from the beginning, like instead of rewinding it in your VCR and taking like 10 minutes, you pop it in one of these babies, you shut the lid, and in like 2 minutes that sucker's rewound all the way to the back.
Oh, for VHS tapes?
Yeah, you pull that out. Oh, pop it in. The car rewinder, did you have one?
Oh, I thought you meant like a car.
No, this is like a race, like a classic car looking.
Oh, it's like a little. It looks like a tape player, like the cassette tape player.
Yeah, but you pop it in.
You put the VHS tape in there and it rewinds it.
Yeah, you remember what you had? Because
you had, yeah, because back in the day when you had rental video, you had to go to the rental stores, and then you had to rewind the tape, or you get charged what $5-$10, and I don't know how many times you'd. You put it in there to rewind it, and then you totally forget about it. It's like, oh, I gotta return to the videotape, and they're gonna kill me. It's like, oh shoot, I don't know where it is. And then 2 days later, you find it in the rewinder, and like, ah.
See, for me, it was my parents rented the movie Backdraft.
You moron.
And same thing. They told me, like, you can't watch it. I wait till they went to bed. I went out there. I hit that rewind thing. I popped it in, rewound that sucker. I watched it twice. And it's a long, watched it twice. Didn't I get it stuck in the machine? All the tape came out of it. And it was all tied up in the machine. Oh, that was terrible. I was done. I was like, I'm going to pretend like nothing happened.
It wasn't me.
Yeah, remember how they would do that, though? The tape would just get all loose on it. Nowadays, they just refresh their app and it plays.
It wasn't me.
Yeah, we'd be up creek. We wouldn't be able to watch it. The tape would be everywhere. Oh, they're spoiled these days. Well, that's all I got. Yeah, that was, women's hockey. I want to watch it. I really want to watch that game.
I guess we can roll into some AHL updates now.
Yeah, you know what? I'll start. I'll make it quick. Edvinson has been up with Detroit. He's playing great, and I really hope they let him ride the season out. I think he's earned his spot. But going back to the Griffins now, who he was a Griffin, obviously, they did clinch a playoff berth. They've got their 18th in 28 seasons, I believe. And they beat the Cleveland Monsters right at home to clinch that playoff spot. It was a good night. But You know, Kosa, not sure how they pronounce it. I'm going to say Kosa from now on. But Kosa's been playing great. You know, he's definitely showing that he's going to be between the pipes in the future as long as everything can stay the course. Again, I would like to see him with Alex Lyon. I think that would be an excellent duo because, well, I'm not going to get into all that. But, yeah, they've played good. And they've got the Rockford Ice Hogs coming up April 5th. So let's hope for the best.
And they're right on their tail. The Griffins did clinch a playoff spot. So
yeah, that's what I said.
If Detroit doesn't make it, they can stack their team down there. The Admirals, well, they're kind of finishing March better than they started. Remember, they've started that miserable March off, coming off that win streak that the Griffins beat them. But so, you know, they won, you know, three last week. They won three, and then they lost to Rockford, and then they beat Grand Rapids. So that was a 2-1 win. So maybe they're fighting their way. And then starting off April with a loss to Rockford, who got to play Grand Rapids. So, you know, maybe we'll see how they do, but you know, Admirals are still comfortably in lead of the division. I'm about 9 points now over Grand Rapids, so hopefully they can keep that cushion and move into the playoffs. Well, that rolls us into our weekly pick segment, unless you got anything.
Nope, got nothing.
Detroit side, I got the Washington one wrong, and you got that correct, and then we both got we're both right on Carolina and Florida, so we got a little streak going there. So that pushed us to 43 wins to 37 for the wing side.
Yeah, I'm so at 50%. You're
50%, I'm 58, so you can still catch. I mean, but I got a nice, comfortable lead on the wings. That leads us in to this week's games. Since there's only a few games, there's 8 games left, why don't we just pick the rest of the season?
Okay.
And then, you know, in the next couple weeks, we can kind of reiterate.
TB, loss, Rangers. I'm going with a win for the hell of it. Just one last, like, let's go. Let's pull a freaking horseshoe out of the rear end of something. But I'm going to go with a win on that. Buffalo, I think we're going to get a win. I think we're going to lose again to Washington and Pittsburgh and Toronto. I think we'll beat Montreal. And then I think we'll lose to Montreal. And then that one's already okay.
Yeah, that last one was the one I mistake earlier in the year. I didn't put it on the schedule. That's the game that they got blown out. And yeah. I said I don't think I'm the only one to forget about that game. It's a New Year's Eve game.
Oh yeah.
I don't know how I missed that.
So what you got?
So I'm gonna call a loss to Tampa Bay. I think you're kind of copying me. A loss to the Rangers. I'm going to go with a loss to Buffalo because Buffalo's.
You realize my copying you, we just had the last two different.
Oh, yeah, and well.
The next two different.
Okay.
How much I'm copying you.
All right. Well, I think they're going to lose the bot. It's in Detroit, but I just don't think Buffalo's been playing pretty high lately, and I just. They seem to. It's maybe I'm wrong, but it just seems like Buffalo has the Wings number. Then I got. I'm gonna think they'll beat Washington, and then I think they'll beat Pittsburgh, and then a loss to Toronto at Toronto, and then they finish with a home and home against Montreal on the 15th and 16th of April. I think they're gonna win the one at home and lose the one in Montreal. That leads us to the Pred side. I got the Vegas one right, and you got it.
Beating you on this side.
See, we know each other's team more than we know each our own. So Vegas, I got that right. You got that wrong. We both got the Arizona wrong, and then we both got Colorado correct because it was just a bad game. So moving into the Boston game, I picked a loss. St. Louis, I think they're going to lose. St. Louis been playing desperate hockey. Then they got to go to New York and New Jersey, back-to-back games. They're going to lose the Islanders and beat New Jersey. And then a loss against Winnipeg coming back home. And then a loss at Chicago. Down there to blast, but they seem to play really good against the Preds. And then I think they're going to end the season with back-to-back wins. Columbus is their last home game, so it's fan appreciation night. I think the fans, they're gonna win that one for the fans. And then they're at Pittsburgh. I think they're going to win that game because yours truly is going to be there.
Oh, you're going.
I don't know. Pittsburgh playing pretty good, but I'm as of now, I'm going to keep that. I'm going to keep that slated as a win.
Okay. Well, here's what I got. I got a loss to Boston. I got a win against St. Louis. I've got a win against the Islanders because I want to win against the Islanders. And I think a loss to New Jersey because I feel like Nashville doesn't always play New Jersey well for some reason. And not only that, but it is on the back end of a back-to-back, so I'm going with a loss on that one. Then we've got, who do we have next? Winnipeg. I'm going with a loss to Winnipeg. And then I'm going to say a win against Chicago. I know that they're rivals and they play each other very well, but I'm going to go with a win against Chicago, a win against Columbus, and a win against Pittsburgh.
Okay, so that leads you're 50% on the Pred side, 37 wins. I got 36, so I'm just behind you. And then overall, I got a five game lead, 79-74. So we're going to have to think. I mean, obviously, we're going to still do this going into the next season. But we've been trying to think what we can do because we all know, you know, the Wings have to light the lamp. But that's obvious for the goals or actually, I think it's just for the game, right? Not just goals scoring because they do pick team and game goaltenders. Yeah. But we got – we're trying to think of something like that, you know, something with the weekly picks. I don't know how we would assign points. I don't know. I just think, or maybe we just keep it like this, and it's just, you know, how funny that you're 50% on both of them.
Yeah, I know.
And that means you're 50% overall. It's my number, 74. So, let's see. So next week we have, we got seven. Let's see, how many do I have to recap? Let's see, looks like I have four games to recap, and you'll have three. Going down to the crunch time here, the last couple weeks of the season. You know, 2 weeks left for both of our teams, pretty much. The Preds' last game was on the 15th. The Wings' last game was on the 16th. So we'll just have to see what's in store for the last 2 weeks, not just for our teams, but the whole NHL. It's getting down to that exciting time of year. So stick with us, and our playoff race next week will probably be, might be the same, might be a little different. Who knows? It's going to be an interesting week coming up for the NHL and going into next week. Some teams are going to be desperate and everything. So that's all I have for this week.
Me as well.
You can get us on our social media, Pred Wings Podcast, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and YouTube and X at Pred Wings Pod. You can also get our pod on YouTube as well. It does post to YouTube, just the audio, obviously. And emails predwingspodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget, if you follow us on Podbean, you can join us for a live show. I believe it sends a notification when we go live. And you never know what is going to be said, as I said earlier at the top of this show, well, last week. That's another one. 90 episodes coming up fast, and that means 100 might possibly hit. It's going to be close this season or next. If it's next season, it's going to be real early. So we're inching closer and closer to that magical 100 mark. But once again, thanks for tuning in to the Pred Wings podcast.
Good night, Hockey Town.
See ya, Smashville.